listening somewhere in the shadow, you will see Jesus. He's the friend who always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. And you know him by the nail prints in his hands. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your grace today. We thank you, Lord, for time of fellowship and worship, Lord, and to learn of your word. Father, we ask of your grace now, Lord, that you take this time now, Father, and break down the word to understanding. Lord, take the hearts of your people, Lord, and melt it down to receive your word. Bless thy servant, Lord, and thy people. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I have received all these news, very strange, not really in the best sense, you know, very strange, but very strange in the sense that the people who are supposed to know the message of the present truth has now, some of them, give their opinions and take on some little topic or a branch of a major doctrine and begin to try to break it down and give their opinion, whether it's on the Facebook or the chat group or the forum group. That's so much so that now I have received texts, messages, emails about what was going on in the Philippines, in India, that you have over in different parts of Africa. And the recent one was just a couple of days ago. We have people who just want to become somebody that they are not. And I say this very often. This has become what the Bible's, you know, a fulfillment of the Bible prophecy. You know, false prophets and false Christ will arise, as Jesus said. And these already were there. These such people were already there in the days of Christ. And then it increases in the days of the apostles, and it has been from then on increasing. And that's how the church went into the church ages and entered into the dark age. What we have, someone who made himself vicarious very new. But now, you know, it seems that we're in the mainstream. And nobody think much about Mother Hubbard's anymore as being a very dangerous thing. Because it's become like a, you know, big establishment. A big organized organization, I would say. A big church. So Roman Catholicism is accepted. Now a person came along and, you know, the various big denomination, mainstream group, and then they all break up into small little divisions and sect. And some 35,000 fractions. And they're all acceptable. But now we have this message that God has given us through the prophet to bring us back to the Word, and those who have seen what the move of God is in this our time. And yet, many are not established in the Word. As Peter said, be established in the present truth. And yet it's interesting that we all want to know more about the Word of God that is true. But They are men. They want to be something or somebody. Now last week we said about what Paul said, that we cannot go beyond our limit, our measure. We cannot step over the bound of our measure that is given to us. You know, but yet, that is what many people are doing. You know, many are called, but not, but few are chosen. And the same thing in the entire message, you know, in the present true ministry. God has given a fivefold ministry. And this fivefold ministry are called and ordained of God and are chosen of God by the very foundation of the world. God did not decide to choose you now. God chose you already before the foundation of the world if you are called into the ministration of the Word of God, into this fivefold ministry. But we have those that are not called. And I told you once before. How do the believer whom I ask, you know, is doing God's service. And I ask him, are you called? Are you ordained of God to be a preacher, you know? And he told me that, well, it's a very personal thing. I asked him, are you called? He said, no, that's between me and Christ. That's a very personal thing. And I told him, I said, the Apostle Paul said, I am an apostle, called of God, a prisoner of Christ. I said, we identify who we are. I'm not afraid to tell you who I am, what I'm called to do, what my position is, what my gift is. He said, it's a very personal thing. I said, well, if the Lord didn't call you and you want to do something for the Lord, learn. But I guess many people think that, well, they know everything, they know, and they were probably in the heart they think, who do you think you are, Brother Gang? Now who? I wonder, when Paul rebuked Peter, I wonder what's in the heart of Peter. What's in the heart of those other elders around when they heard Paul rebuke Peter? Don't put it in their heart, someone there, who do you think you are, Paul? Don't you know that Peter is a big fisherman, he's the first apostle, he's the first man to preach the gospel? You know, that's the problem with people, they don't understand the gift. They don't see the gift. And all that they have is that, oh, I think I know something, like I remember back then in the 70 when I came to the message and I met some of these people who were there in the other churches, and they have been in the churches for, well, about less than a year, I guess, or a year. And some of them, you know, start reading Brown's Book and read it on the tape. And they think that they know, and they run around trying to preach the message. I wonder about when people have a message called running, doing God a service of being His will. You know, people are running around without the message. They think that they have a message and they go around running, thinking that they are preaching the message. It really hurts me. Sometimes in my heart I feel so sick because of all these things that is going on. And people are all, and the lay people, they are confused, they are in turmoil. Because human beings are such that they want to follow a leader. They want to follow what the elder thing they know. I was watching a video somehow. You know, I did not know, you know, it just popped up on the screen and I was looking at it and it's interesting. In India, there was only a couple of years back, a baby girl was born with two faces. And it's a mirror image. You know, left side and right side, mirror image exactly. And of course, when she was delivered, being in the village, the people are very superstitious. There are all kinds of gods, millions of them, they worship. And Miwa thought that this child would not live, but she lived for I don't know how many weeks. But during that time, news rang out, and people came to look at this little girl.
and give offering and say, this is the reincarnation of what God and goddesses. It's very, I mean, you know, people are now out there in such a backward country. In villages where tradition is so strong, superstition is so strong, even the doctors from Bangalore came to visit after hearing the news and said this girl would die because you're not feeding it properly. The girl was feeding with milk that is contaminated, even water that is not clean. And one of the eye that in the center is not, because they are close together, the eye is not, what we call that? Blinking. So, you know, it's always open. So it gets infected. And you can see the infection, it's all the oozing, the pus. The parents just think that you'll be okay. They're just feeding this and all that thing. I say, oh my. And the doctor cannot force them to bring the child to the hospital. Because it's not the doctor's child. So what happened over time? Well, deteriorated until the girl died. And they built a temple for her and, you know, a statue make of her, and people come there and worship. You see, that's darkness. Religious darkness, people who don't have the truth. But here we have the truth, and we have people in anti-measure trying to, you know, who are not called to really break down the word. They think they know it, and they add your 2 cents worth of nonsense to it and make a mess of it, and people, the laity just follow, and they are confused, they don't know what to follow. And I said, these human beings always look up to someone to lead them. You look at what happened in Malawi, there's this churches that, several churches that follow the man who called himself Elohim. Huh? You go to another part of Africa, a man believed that he is like a savior because it's on a Facebook. If you don't believe that his message, his teaching, you don't have salvation. You don't have eternal life. Wow. False Christ and false prophet, false teacher will be out there. That's why, you know, when I was in the Philippines, many years ago, I think it was in the, you know, I was there in 1981, and then from that time on, I visit Philippines almost every year. And I think that in the late 1980s, I said, Brother Ken, come and join the ministers' meeting. Well, you know, I joined once, twice, and I don't like it. Because, you know, I don't believe in ministers meeting the way that they have their meeting. And one day, you know, I was asked by the brother, I said, Brother, again, we're going to minister meeting, can you join us? I said, Brother, you know, every time I come here, we have ministers meeting. I said, I don't want to go. You are dealing with people, you are having all this group, a thunder group, the two soul group, whatever you have, and you come together. And what are you discussing? Every one of them were. Everybody believed they have the truth. Don't you? You believe that? Everyone believed that they have the truth. And you come to discuss a subject, and everybody would take the coat of Brother Branham, because this is what the anti-message movement, with all these different schisms and factions. And you want to bring them all together to discuss. And he told me, I said, you know, you cannot change your life of sport, I told the brother. I said, Brother, how do you know? Maybe they will believe. I said, how many times have you having this ministers meeting? Every year you have one, you know, or twice even, I don't know. Because I go to Philippines only once a year, usually on maybe April and December, that's it, with different places. He says, have you changed your issue? I said, but you never know about again. So when I said, I'll go the last time and see what happened. And I was there. What do we get? What did I get to see? I got to see. Oh, the subject was Have the seven seals been opened? Okay, I just sit down there and let them discuss. And here they come here and say, well, you know, yeah, Brother Bram, say, it's not open yet. It's not been open yet. Another one come up there, they open it just like what's going on in Ghana and in Nigeria as well. And then, after everybody was switching here and there with all that, I said, can I say something? I said, I'm not Filipino, I'm Singaporean, you know that. Yeah, no problem, brother gang. And now it's too dark, and I rebuked them too. Like I did with you over in Ghana. And the pastor of the church who holds this meeting, he stood up and said, oh, brother, that's just my opinion. And I said to him, I said, God doesn't want, don't need your opinion. God is not interested in your opinion. In my opinion, no. He's interested in what the Word of God said. Not your opinion. After that was over, the pastor came up to me and said, brother God, can you preach for me for my church in this evening service? I said, brother, are you really serious? Because when I preach something, you will not agree. When I leave the four next service, you will tear it down. I said, no, I'm not going to preach. That's for sure. You know. And that's why Paul said one thing is so true. The elders in Jerusalem, those group out there in Jerusalem, they could add nothing to him. Paul had a better revelation. So people think, oh, Brendan, you think you have better revelation than us? I say, yeah, I do. For Abraham's time and the message is over for us. We move on. Amen. Whatever we have gained, we take along with us, but we move on like what Joshua was told to do. What Moses had given the law and all that have been taught to you, take it, but move on. I will lead you. It's not packing Brother Abraham's and then God's not leading. You know. And every time you have a problem, let us find out what Brother Branham said. Right? In those days they don't have computer. In the 70s he did not have what we have today. They have to flip through and all that. They even make a what we call that, like a concordant, you know, they list up all the topics so the people and make a book so the people can refer to it. But today, of course, you have it on the internet, search, message search, and you find the answer. Oh, so Brother Abraham said this. What is the evidence of the Holy Ghost baptism? Oh, Brother Abraham said, believe the word. Believe the word, that's it. What do you mean by believe the word? And this and that and this and that. And I say this many times, brothers and sisters, it's our time to learn. So I want to talk today. My title of the message today is not really actually, you know, just a message in itself, but it's basically part of many questions. But this is the main question I want to deal with. So I entitled it as the two principal men. You probably wonder what are those two principal men? Who are they? Basically, there are two men in the Bible that we know so well. And they all have the same name. And they are called Adam. So, the thing here is that the topic that's floating around is about the genetics of our Lord Jesus Christ. The debate is over this. One, is Jesus Christ a pure creation? Or is his genetic material involve the egg of Mary? You understand what I'm saying? See, it has been from time memorial, I would say, when organized churches set in, theologians start to dig into it. They want to know whether Christ is a pure creation without the involvement of the blood, or without the involvement of the egg of Mary, or was he actually a part of Mary's egg? And you know, denomination, I don't know how many percent of it, they believe that Mary's egg, one of Mary's egg was involved. How did they arrive at that? Very simple, like once I was told, you know, about polygamy. It is true. That polygamy is true. God allows us to have more than one wife. Allow the man to have more than one wife, but not the woman to have more than one husband. So how do you arrive at that? Very simple, brother again. Do you believe that God never changed his mind about his word? I say, yes, I do. So you see, if God never changed his mind about his word and God allowed Abraham to have more than one, David to have more than one, Solomon to have so many, then but again, if your nations allows you, the law of nations allows you, you can have more than one wife. See, it's so simple. Is it? Is it so simple? Just because you quote Brother Branham, God never changed his mind about his word. What word is he talking about? He said, the reason is like that. Then I push it to the brother. I said, okay, brother. God never changed his mind about his word, right? So let me ask you a question. In the beginning, when God created them, what were they told to eat? Were they not told to eat the herbs of the field? The fruits of the trees? Now he was very silent. Sometimes a simple question is just posed to all that foolishness. And I just want to see how people react. And I often see very strange reaction, very quiet. Or the brushing aside of it. He was silent, and I said, not to embarrass anymore, because the wife was there looking at him. Always remind me, there always, how many times, several times when the wife was with the ministers and questions could not be answered by the minister, the wife just looked at the husband. I said, is it not true that they eat of the herbs of the field and the fruits of the tree? But then why did God later on change his mind? He changed his mind. Why? That he allowed men to eat meat. And he was silent. And I have to tell the brother, I said, you must understand, brother. There is the perfect will of God, and there is a permissive will of God. In the perfect will of God, as Jesus Christ told the Pharisees, when they are questioning him about putting away the wife, and Jesus said, in the beginning it was not so. Right? But what did then Moses allow to build? It was because of the hardness of your heart. So think about it. So I told him, you see, the original will of God, God don't change his mind about the word. He will point you back to the original. But he allows, and there's a permissive will of his to allow you for such a time because of your fallen nature. Because of the hardness of your heart. Just the same. So when you come to this, how is Mary's egg involved? Yeah, Mary's egg was involved. Why? Because you see, for again, you believe that Jesus was a God man. Simple. God man. So he's God and he must be meant to be man. He must be involved in genetic material of the human body. Oh, so simple, huh? Is that how you look? Because of the word God man? Because the word was made flesh. So the human material of the humankind must be involved. I said, what else? What else? Pray again, simple. Is Jesus not our kinsman redeemer? You heard about the word Kinsman Redeemer? Yeah. Kinsman Redeemer. Brother Ben used a Kinsman Redeemer. To be our Redeemer, he needs to be our Kinsman. He's our Kinsman Redeemer. Woo! Okay. Let me ask you this. You talk about Kinsman, how is he our Kinsman? So you see, the Bible promised that he will be from the line of King David. So if he was involved with the blood of Mary, who was from the line of King David, that means to say that he's not true to prophecy. It's okay, nice, wonderful. So he was a Kinsman. So he has to come from the blood of Mary because Mary came from that line. Okay. What else? In order for him to be your Kinsman, he has come from the bloodline of King David, the lineage of King David. Okay, good enough. Was King David a Gentile? But Brother Jimmy, he is not your Kinsman, you know, just because he is not your Kinsman, not my Kinsman. He's only the Kinsman of Israel. Because you're talking about Kinsman, right? Who is my Kinsman? No, I mean, in natural. What? Who is my Kinsman? Somebody related to me, the Chinese. Who is your Kinsman, Brother Pratchett? The Indian. Your race. You talk about Kinsman? Can you call? You know, for us to say, the white European, the Vikings, are they our Kinsmen? They're not simpler. So how to be the same? How can they be our Kinsmen? Kinsmen means of the same people from your kind. Now we Chinese won't know what we're talking about, huh? You see, that's what the problem is. You take terms like this without understanding. So Jesus cannot be the Gentiles' Redeemer. He only the Redeemer of the Jew. No wonder the Jew from the very beginning, he said, how can, Peter would say, you know, the elders and the apostles, how could it be that Cornelius' family, they are not Jew? How is it that they received the Holy Spirit? I know I've not read the scripture yet. It's okay. I think you all know the scripture. When Paul was preaching, he didn't take one scripture and just to read it first. So, are you following me? Huh? So, is it true, therefore, that the egg of Mary was involved? Because sometimes when you look at the term like this, you know, God never changes his mind about his word. So we take that phrase and interpret with no direction. That's why I got a lot of smart alecky preachers, teachers, and believers. Now there's another one here. Yeah, probably spreading. We know the book. Well, you know Revelation 10:7, right? Well, you just go to Revelation 10:7. Just sidetrack a little bit. Revelation 10:7. You hear the mighty angel that came down. And he had in his hand a little book open. Revelation 10, verse 2. A little book. Now, here was, in all with respect to the minister who ministered them. He said, here's a little book. This little book. It's not the Bible. It's not the volume of the Bible. You know, this is the size of my Bible. You know, roughly about 8 inches by 6 inches. Because it's a big book, right? But the problem is that this is all small print. Now, I have even a bigger one. A bigger one. And heavier one. So, are you talking about book and the size of big and small? So, to illustrate it, this is a small, this is a big book. Then he put in a hand and lifted up the 14th book of Paul. This is a little book. This is a big book. This is a little book. Now we respect that, but he said that this little book is not the Bible. But let us recap a little bit. Just off track this to let you focus how the human mind tries to look at the Bible. How do you interpret the word? I mean, teaching you know how to look at it carefully. In chapter 5, what do you see in chapter 5 of the same book? I want you to be very careful how what the Bible showed. In chapter 5, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. Right? And you know what this vision pertains to. And you, no one was able to loose the seal. And John cried, and then he turned and because the voice said, "Don't cry, John," he turned and looked and he saw the lion of the tribe of Judah. Came forward and he became a lamb with 7 eyes. Took it from the hand of the one who sits on the throne. And he broke the seal. Once the seal was broken, that is chapter 5. Because what is this book? How many books is there in heaven that can give you life? There's only one. And this, when you talk about the book, this is a book that has been sealed. It's all full. Revelation finished, the name of all the Redeemer, all inside there is finished. So once you open that seal, he's entitled to come back to claim what belongs to him. The heaven and earth. I mean, this whole heavens and this earth of ours. So once it's open, in Revelation 10, that's why you saw the mighty angel came down. And in his hand is a little book. You see, they're saying that the one who sits on the throne is a big book. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment here, because in those days, they don't have this kind of book. It's a scroll. And the scroll is usually about a meter long, maybe you can say 3 feet. More or less, right? You have a smaller one, of course, which Roman wrote to carry a message. But this is a scroll. Okay, you can see that in you go to YouTube and how they read it in the temple and the synagogue. It's about a meter long, about 3 feet or so. So, if a normal sized person with about 6 feet sits down and hold that book, carry that. It's an ordinary sized book in those days, right? Now, in Revelation 10:7, it's not about an angel coming down. It's a mighty angel that came down. John saw him, came down. Remember, this is a vision. And what is written in Revelation 10? The mighty angel came down. He put his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the land. Now, when you look at that vision, you should know that it is not an ordinary sized angel or visions of a man. Alright? The angel word means messenger means man, right? It's not a 6 foot man trying to. How do you put your feet, your one foot on the sea and the other on the land? How? Because the sea, the wave is always moving. How do you put it? You'll be standing on the seashore. That's why I'm saying, I see drawing of that. An angel is standing near the seashore and you say that he put his foot, right foot up upon the sea. No, it's upon the seashore. And the right foot upon the land, though, is still upon the seashore. So this is a mighty angel. A big angel in the vision. That's why that scroll in the hand that he took and opened up is in his hand. He has come back to claim. And that's why that scroll became a small book. A small scroll. Now, a 6 foot man with a 3 feet length of a scroll. That's increased this mighty angel in the vision of John, because he would step upon the sea, right? And upon the land. So let's say that he's 30 feet. Let's say he's 30 feet. What happened to the scroll that is 3 feet compared to one that is 30 feet? How many inches would that be if you want to draw it to graph? Huh? High?
10 inches.
10 inches? Huh? Small? Obviously. And there is only one book, and this is the book of life. This is the book of life. Amen. Jesus Christ himself is a book of life. The seal book is a book of life. Redemption. He come back to claim. To take all that belongs to him. Life. Come back to this earth to rule. And that's just one of the examples, because you know, many people don't realize the Bible is written from the earthly perspective. John sat down and he had a vision. He see from this earthly point of view what happened. And he was, spirit was taken to heaven and see vision there. He still from the earth, he was looking at that, only the spirit was there perceiving. Now let's go and read some verses of scripture now. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore has by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. For until the Lord, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. You understand this, right? Obviously. Yeah. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Ah, just look at this, huh? Because here Paul has such a revelation concerning the first man and the second man, concerning the two Adams. And he's like, I mean, now we can talk about the two Adams, because he had this revelation to talk about the first man and the second man. Okay, now let's look at what he said. But, verse 50, but not as the offense, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the grace and the gifts of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, have abounded unto many. But not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one the condemnation, but the free gift is of many unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abound, grace did much more abound. That as sin have reigned over death, even so my grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. So now, this Paul, in this chapter, and then the book of Revelation is about gospel by the salvation by the gospel. All right. According to Paul, he is using the first Adam, and he's using Adam as a type of reflection of Jesus Christ. Adam brought death; Christ brought life. Okay. And he's talking about the type and the anti-type. So now let us go to another verse. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 21, 22, 45, and 47. Alright? 1 Corinthians 15, 21. For sins by man came death. By man came also resurrection of life. See the word he used, the word man? Right? You see the word man there? Huh? Are you following me now? Okay. If this were written, now this is written of course in Greek, but if this were written in Hebrew, what is the word for man here? The man just read. For sin by Adam came death. By Adam came also resurrection of the dead. You know that the name, that the word man in Hebrew is Adam. Man is Adam. Adam, that's why the man was given the name Adam. Okay, verse 22. For as in Adam all die. So now, of course, since we know that the first man was given the name Adam, so in Hebrew, so Paul right here used the Greek, you know, the name Adam. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So, verse 21 again. I want you to take notice. Because the mysteries of the genetic makeup of Jesus Christ is hidden. And people have been guessing until, because of their theological training, because, you know, yeah, that's where sometimes, you know, I just don't say too much. I try to help people to understand, but I guess some people just don't want to understand. It's your assumption, Brother Gary, it's your assumption. And I always say this one thing. If the assumption makes any sense with the gospel or the Bible, then take a little time to think before you open your big fat mouth and say, it's your assumption, and you reject it. Oh, serpent seed. We talk about serpent seed. You know, the cane is from the serpent. What? You people are full of assumption. How can an animal have sex with a woman? How can a snake have sex with Eve? See that mentality. So when you try to explain it and make them see, and they are too quick to brush it away, walk off. It's no point casting pearls before swine. You get a point? Huh? Some people have never had the heart or the what we call the soul went for the soul, right? Well, the ground, yeah, the ground for the good seed to rest. No. Verse 21 again. For sin by man came death, by man came also resurrection of the dead. So if you were talking about it by and since by Adam came death, by Adam came also resurrection. Does it sound right? Kind of odd, huh? We will be thinking is by Adam, Adam brought death, Adam brought life. No. That's what Paul then began to say. The next verse. For as in Adam, so he's talking about now the one that is in the beginning who's called Adam. But the second one here is Christ. So all be made alive. I want you to know that. Everybody say, yeah, we know. You know. But I want you to look at the hidden mysteries that Paul wrote the way he wrote. Even while I'm speaking right now, I'm getting revelation to understand more about that. Because you see, I fall in love with this Bible. Since I left the system. And God is opening it up. Then you can, then I began to look at things that I never seen before. Verse 45. And so it is written, the first man Adam. Now because now Paul already mentioned Adam, right? So go right down is the passage in the same chapter. So it is written, the first Adam, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. It's interesting, isn't it? It's type and anti-type. Nothing could be any clearer. It's just like law versus grace. Something brought death. I mean, that bring in the law. Something brought back life by grace. It's the same thing that brought that. Man!
Yeah. Alright, so we understand that in this passage, Paul is conveying about Adam's transgression and tell us that Adam was a type of Christ. Parallel, but not true to form. You know what I mean by parallel, but not true to form? They're both the same, but the forms are not the same. One brought forth death, the other brought forth life. But both are men. They're the same men. They're men. And trust in me. Only the form is reversed, as we say. Alright. So, what does it tell us here? When we talk about the two principal men. Let's go to another part of the Bible. Let's go to Genesis chapter 5, 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Hey, here we are. As I said, is we no longer have the Adamic kind. Isn't that right? What we have today, every one of us came from the three sons of Noah, so we are all Noahic kind. No more Adamic kind. All the Adamic kind was already gone. Because they all disappeared before the flood. So, we read here, it is clear, the Bible here said, that since Seth was born, his image and his likeness was of Adam, not of God. Why? What happened? Because God said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness, so he made Adam. So how come Adam's children were not, or Adam's son was not after the image of God? And not even after the likeness of God. Why is it so? Why? Because Seth inherit what? The fallen nature of Adam. So what is the fallen nature of Adam? It was the sin that was imputed upon Adam. Huh? When Adam sinned against God that time, God imputed him. It's just that God imputed righteousness upon Abraham. Right? You understand? Just imputed. So the same thing, God imputed sin upon Adam. So what happened when God imputed sin? What happened to the body? What happened? Now here, well, I want you to notice again. You have verse 5. Chapter 5, sorry. And verse 3. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own image and after his in his own likeness, sorry, and after his image. So question is, what is likeness? What is image? Likeness is the after, or what we call the physical sight that pertains to what or God created you as in the beginning. The image is the spiritual side of it. Now, remember how the Adam was created? Now, I want you to see so that you can understand about the genetic makeup of Jesus Christ. When God first created Adam, he created him in his own image. God is spirit. Adam is spirit. Am I not right? Then God make a body of dust. So they become physical upon the earth, so they put that spirit of Adam into it. and man became a living soul.
Without a body of dust, the spirit cannot manifest. Souls cannot be seen.
So now, when Adam sinned against God, God imputed upon him sin. So what happened to the image?
There is, I said, the whole makeup of Adam is tinted. You know what I mean, tinted? Right? Blemished.
Tint.
Blemished.
So what happened now?
So he's, what about the, that is the image, is tint. What about the likeness? The likeness is a physical part. What happened to the body? You know, when God created Adam was pure, the body was pure, they cannot die. It's immortal. You know what I mean? It's immortal, it's pure, the body cannot die. Yeah, the sun will regenerate. You eat, you play. You live forever in this body. Like you will be in the millennium. Or like you will be in the new heaven, new earth. Then the natural people will go in and live forever and ever and ever. Of course, you know, the hair will grow. Because the cell will replace. Because it's just a natural process. You will keep on going. But the day that Adam sinned against God, he was imputed sin. Darkness sets in. You understand? Remember what the Bible said? When Eve took the fruit and gave it to Adam, and Adam partook of that, and the Bible said their eyes were open. How is their eyes open? What does it mean by the eyes open? Maybe the whole time they were closed? Walking around without eye open? Eyes open means that they come to realization that they have sinned against the Lord. How come that they know that they have sinned? It's because the veil of God, the light has moved away from him. You know, sometimes it's how dangerous is when we sin against the Lord, break his word a little bit, or try to twist the word, God take a little step back and look at you. Huh? And the more that you start to go against the word of God, the further you will get away from God. Because you want to go your own way. So when darkness sets in, the body, the genetic material, we'll call it genetic material, begin to die. It breaks up, begin to die. Because light of God fade away, darkness sets in. And so the more the people get away from the word of God, that's why the message of God was called us back to the word. Come back to the fullness of the word, the light. Don't mix with darkness. So now, let's go to the book here in Genesis. When sin came, Adam and Eve realized they have sinned, so they heard the footsteps of God walking in the garden. God was looking for them. And I always say that you need to have a little assumption, imagination, a little bit. To understand why did God come in the evening to look for them. Of course, God knows everything, but you know, the Bible play out this scenario for us to understand that God always have a desire for fellowship.
Amen.
Right? Amen. And apparently, you know, it's a good imagination or good to picture that, okay, God comes in the evening to fellowship. Adam and Eve must be meeting in a place, waiting in a place for God to come down, huh? Like, we gather. You know, sometimes we gather for fellowship, brothers and sisters. When we say 10 o'clock for fellowship, don't come after 10 o'clock. We're supposed to come wait for the Lord, not the Lord waiting for us, and that's the problem. And we have this habit, many of us. It's really bad. You know, we talk about the tithes and tithes, no way for no man. What's that? Time and tithe waits for no man. And yet, Yeah, you know, as I said many times, we go to work on time and make sure we go to work on time or else we get kicked out and fired. But when you come to fellowship, we have this attitude of taking our own sweet time. Oh my. But I think, you see, Adam here was waiting as usual every day, and perhaps, and God came down in the form of a man, sit down there, talk with him, talk with them, fellowship with them here. Adam and Eve were hiding, apparently, you know. Just take a little play on that and how God find them not at the place of meeting as usual, came looking for them. It, as I said, many of them, it is not that God doesn't know where they are, but God wants a response. Adam, Adam, where are thou? Don't tell me God doesn't know that they were hiding, that they were already covered with fig leaf. And I said, God always wants a response from every one of us. If I were to say this, and translate it up, put it in a different way. When God said to Adam, 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 what are you? He has speaking in Hebrew, translated in English. Man, man, what are you? Got it? Got a point? Because that was the name in Hebrew. Adam was from the dust of the ground. Adam, Rudy, of the earth, the color of the earth. Man, man, where are you? You see the point now? I'm trying to make, tell you understand what the word man means. Why has Paul used it over there in his own epistle? By man came death, by man. By Adam came death, by Adam came the resurrection of life. Got the point? Yep. Now we read over in first, go back to 1 Corinthians 15 again. I want you to observe those words. Because in my last, somebody sent me a text of a man who claimed himself, and his name is Branham Odawa. You know, I know a lot of people want to have changed their name. I know of a William Branham in India. And his brother is called John Wesley. So I found out that his father, being a Christian, loved John Wesley and loved Abraham's message, and also named the son, one called John Wesley, the other called William Branham. And of course, with the Indian name behind. I don't want to use that name. I don't want to say it because, you know, don't embarrass. They're just people who want to have that. That's okay to call. You know, next time, Brother Jonah, if you get married, you can call Branham Gunn. You know, people are calling, you know, I mean, you find that people are called Wesley, right? Very common. But now people are calling himself Branham. And this man here was called himself Branham Odawa. And he write all the things. And people make this mistake many, many times. I made it once and I realized, oh, how can we overlook first man, first Adam. Second man, second Adam. We always say that. And that's why in America there is this church whose pastor talk about the three Adams. The first Adam was Adam. The second Adam was Jesus Christ. The third Adam, William Branham. First man, first Adam. Second man, second Adam. Third man, third Adam. Fourth man, fourth Adam. Is that what it is? But see, the problem about that word, not able to understand. Paul did not say second Adam. And many people make that mistake. Watch what he says here. 1 Corinthians 15, 45 and 47. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So now, take these two verses. You can see, right? The first man is Adam. First man is called Adam. Then talk about last Adam. But In the verse 47, you see the second man is the Lord from heaven, and we know who that is. So his first man, first Adam, second man, last Adam. So what is the meaning of that? Why did Paul say first man, first Adam, and second man, not second Adam, but last Adam? What is the significance of this? It tells me one thing. When you use the word man, now Paul being a Jew is well acquainted. His revelation, remember? First man came death. By man, what we read early on, by man came death, by man came also resurrection of life. So we read it as by Adam came death, by Adam came resurrection of life. Because the old man is Adam. So man, what is this important word Adam and man? It's just the same. Man, Adam is the same. So if we stop using man, if we stop using the word Adam, just use the word man. The first man. The second man, last man. But because the name is given, right? So they differentiate what we are talking about. So the revelation lies in these two verses, 1 Corinthians 15, 45, 47. What is man? So go back to Genesis. God created man in his own image. And then in his likeness, he put that into a body. So man became a living soul. Now, Adam was a pure man. Pure creation. There was no egg involved. No sperm involved, right? Nothing. It's just pure creation. No genetic materials of a man or a woman. That is to say, it's totally a pure creation. From his hand. No, spirit is spirit, right? But God took the dust. The dust is the genetic material, so to speak. We all live, we all came from dust, and dust will go back. So, when Jesus was conceived, so now the problem is here, the argument about was Mary a surrogated mother? Some people laugh, ha 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 ha. Hey, brother Dan! The Bible tells us that Jesus was Mary's child. Was born of Mary. So how can he be a surrogate mother? Her egg must be involved. And that's why we have the Kinsman Redeemer. That's why he is a God man. So that's the reasoning that goes on like that. You see, if the first man is pure, no human genetic material involved. Okay? So what about the second man? Who is also called Adam. What would be the genetic material of this man called the last Adam? He's the last creation. That's why he's never called the second Adam. He's the last Adam. The last man. Last creation of God. The first whom he created to bring forth man, pure. And so the same thing with this second man, last Adam. Last Adam, think about it. Pure material has nothing to do with the egg of Mary. You get the point what I'm saying? However, God, the Bible don't tell you how God, you know, put those feet or that cell, they already can form into a man. We only think that there's a sperm and there's an egg that God make put together, right? You understand what I'm saying? Then it takes a sperm and takes an egg to fuse together. But what has, you know, like we are saying, you know, every one of us half our chromosome, how they came from our father, how they came from our mother, right? Correct? So that's what they want you to believe. That Jesus Christ was, well, they won't say half God and half man. They will say fully God and fully man. Yeah, I mean, we use that term. Correct? So he has to be the eggman.
You know, once I talked with several Christians over this. And they are very specific to argue that Christ must be, that Jesus must be from the egg of Mary. Or else he is not our kinsman redeemer. That's how they said it. But the Bible prophesied that the children of Israel know that the Messiah will come through Israel and sits in the throne of David. Correct? And David will be his father. Is that right? Means his ancestor. From that lineage. That's how they talk about the kinsman redeemer. But you see, we are Gentiles. Hey, brother and sister, you understand we are Gentiles. So how are we related to the kinsman redeemer who is a Jew? The question is Jesus a Jew? He was born in the Jewish family, but was he a Jew? And Susan White, Abraham was called the father of many nations. Because the kinsman redeemer is not tied just to King David's lineage, of tribe of Judah's lineage, of Israel's lineage, because the promise that God gave to Abraham was not Isaac. So that he could be a king of many, so that he could be a father of many nations. It's not possible. The promise that was given to Abraham was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the original seed. So what do you mean talk about original seed? Now, the end of man talk about the original seed, the original life. So what is the original seed? So if it's the original seed, can it tie to an egg? I have original life. What am I speaking of? Am I tied to an egg? This earthly life is this earthly life. But by Adam came death, by Adam came the resurrection of life. So what is your, what mystery is it that you don't see here? But a brother, some brother says, some believers say to me, but again, God take the egg of Mary and purge it. And purge it. Sanctify it. Oh, so that it could be identified with the human. Whoa. Was Adam a human being? Was he human? Did he come from an egg? Did he come from a sperm? Let me say this to all those who have all this idea that eggs are involved, the egg marriages are involved. Take heed. Take it what I'm trying to tell you. That Jesus Christ is a pure creation. First man, first Adam. Second man, last Adam. Both are pure creation. Both are man. Both are Adam.
Amen.
That's what it is. Amen. It could not be any clearer. And you just have your mind to fix on and say, oh, he's a God man, a kinsman redeemer, and you deduce from that. You're wrong. Many times the Bible is not to be interpreted by deduction. Rather, like the denomination. See, there's a Father, there's a Son, there's a Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:19. What could be not like, what, it could not be any clearer that there is a Trinity. And so much so that when I asked my pastor back then when I was in the Assemblies of God, when you stand before God in the day of judgment, who will you see sitting on that throne? How many thrones are there? He was even confused for a moment
when I ask him that question.
There's a throne? I said, yeah. How many thrones are there in heaven that God sits on? Turn for a while, he says, one. He said, let us be sure. We turn to the Bible, the book of Revelation. The throne of God and of the Lamb. No ass, right? He said, okay. He said, how many are there? How many you see sitting on that one throne? And what did he say to me and those who are in the room? Well, Jimmy is there. I don't worry. He remembered that. Well, you know, God can show himself as one sitting there, or he can show himself as three sitting there. My goodness. Then I realized that I have been, you know, people want to be guided by a pastor in those days when you are in a church. You know, I said, what kind of pastor I have that I trust myself in? Whom I looked at as a spiritual man, I understand, but didn't even know a thing. And I told him, I said, brother, I said, pastor. I call him by his pastor title with the surname. I said, God, do not play with magic. Whether it's white magic or black magic, as you want to call it. He's either one or he's three. You will never see three persons sitting on one chair or one throne squeezing it. And I said this very often. The queen, when he sits beside the king, he's always on his right. Never could she ever sit on the king's throne. Do you understand that in those days? She had all. She never said to the husband, another, neither to the king, said to the wife, come on, sit, squeeze me, honey. So sit together in a one throne. You never have that thing. And you can never see one person sitting there with three heads, three faces. That's what the Trinitarian drew and sculptured. Yeah, those days are over, as the Bible says. The ignorant got winked at, but now command all to repent. There's a time when we could be ignorant. God can overlook it. But when he calls you to the word of God and you have the truth, and you go on, go your way beyond your measure, you're in trouble. Don't go beyond your measure. Do you understand now? Understand the term? Kinsman Redeemer? Understand the term that you've been used? The Bible don't use it? The God man? Right? God manifests in flesh. Oh, God make flesh. John 1:1. Interesting, isn't it? But you know, our time is running out. Perhaps I'll come back next week. We'll continue with that. Because this principle, man, we need to fully understand. And I said before, go back to where Paul said, by man came death, and by man came the resurrection of the dead. Just change the word man to Adam. So by Adam came death. By Adam came for resurrection of the dead. So can you see now what is that going on there? Pure creation. That's what it is. And the Lord bless every one of us. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace. I pray the Lord that this will make many of us to understand now, Lord. Oh, I love the word Father. I love it. Because you have brought forth light, Lord, and you send your prophet, Brother Branham, chorus back to this word. Truly, Lord, in that system there's all that darkness, the traditions of man, and many who are called out have not yet fully entered into the present truth, the present day ministry. Many are running around without a message, and they think that they have a message. Lord, I thank you for those whose souls and spirit are troubled by all the confusion. As I was, Father. But knowing the Lord, this must be. For thou hast said in the last day there will be many false Christs, false prophets, and so deceive many. Many are confused, Lord, and I pray, Father, those that are yours, those that you have called forth, Lord, out of this world of darkness and the traditional darkness into the light, I pray, Father, you keep them. Give them the revelation, give them the understanding, Father. Let them always rejoice in thy word, to come into your word. And I pray that, Lord, you bless your people now. In Jesus' name, amen.